You have my old right here.
It's that you sound more like 007.
You see, I am not dead, Trebek.
Here's the thing.
I'm sure they're both playing Celebrity Jeopardy for eternity now. So
yes, that's actually amazing because I watch Celebrity Jeopardy quite often. So yes, I approve.
This is Barely Furcasting, featuring Tabin, an Injured Nerves audio production.
Hello, everybody. Every fur, every species, everything that listens to us. Welcome to our show and welcome and thank you for welcoming us into your life.
Your life. That means actually a lot to us.
Yeah. We hope to make you happy, laugh, giggle, groan. Because you're going to groan a lot with our jokes.
There'll be so much. Oh my God.
So much groaning. And you might even learn a little bit something. And joining us actually for the entire podcast today is going to be Lemnius. He just kind of showed up. And so we thought, hey, let's just do the podcast.
Sorry, I got lost.
You're a lost little Lemmy. You just knocked on the door and like, there you were. And like, okay, fine. We'll take you in like a little lost Lem. You're a little lost Lemming.
Yeah. Well, I avoid cliffs at all costs.
Yeah, good. Well, good. Because if you didn't, you probably would not be here with us today.
So Tabin, how have you been this week?
It's been a good little week, apparently, and I wag and I run around and it's been pretty busy. I don't know what I've done, but I feel like it's been busy because we're here again and it seems like I just saw you.
I know. It seems like we've just get done and then we start all over again. It's amazing how that works.
It's like chasing the tail, which I don't do it anymore unless it's in good fun, of course. But, you know, it goes around and round and round, just like you were just saying.
Yep. Hey, and Lem, you came on one of our very first shows as our feature guest. How have you been since then?
I think our episode 4, I think you were our second guest.
Episode 4? Wow. A New Hope.
A New Hope. Exactly. I got that too.
Things have been okay. I can't really go into details about work-related stuff, but it's not good. Oh, wait. Well, nothing's good.
Nothing's good. No, it's COVIDation. Yeah, man.
Oh, we're so happy to have you with us.
Thank you. You guys probably heard that we had to postpone Spokanthro again.
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
But, who would have thought? Who saw that coming?
Well, everybody. I think everybody saw that coming.
No, it's really important that we're all safe, and it's really hard that we're having to do that kind of thing. But I think it's extremely important that we're all safe because if we're not all safe, none of us will ever go to a con again. And you know why?
Because you'd be dead.
I wasn't going to say it, so I'll let you be the morbid one. But yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. We're still keeping the theme of circus. I don't know. It's just uncanny because it turns out that 2020 and 2021 is going to be total circus in general. So it's a perfect thing.
It works out. I'm glad you're keeping the theme. I was looking, of course, forward to it this year, running around with the stuff. It'll be exciting to get there in the circus at some point.
Our mailbag is empty once again. No one loves us anymore. But I do want to do a quick little shout out to Renegade. He is suffering from the COVID right now and not doing well as of this recording.
Oh, no.
He's having a hard time breathing. I was watching his tweets. And so I want to give a nice shout out, send prayers and good thoughts to Renegade Rue.
No, good thoughts and fluffs to Renegade Rue.
Let's talk about media stuff today. What's been going on? What have you been watching there, Tabin?
So let's see. Young and Hungry. I think I mentioned last week that watching the next episode of Young and Hungry, and it's getting pretty good. We talked about this before. I mean, it's kind of the same, but it's pretty entertaining anyway. I like it. Watched a few more episodes of Queen's Gambit, and I saw a headline just today that it's becoming like one of the top. It's so popular right now or something.
Really?
Yeah, it's really getting up there. I've still only seen like 3 or 4 episodes, but I mean, I really like it. Anyway, apparently it's pretty popular. And so South Park does not have a new season out yet, but I just noticed the other day that on September 30th, they came out with a special episode.
And oh, really?
It's a 40. Yeah, I didn't even know about this. And it has been like a month. I watched it. It's a 45-minute long episode. And it's called the Pandemic Special.
Okay.
And so no spoilers, but I mean, this is Matt and Trey, and right. You're not surprised to hear me say, it's not a spoiler because everyone already really knows, everything is in this 45-minute episode. Like, just think everything that's happened in the last year, it's in this episode. It may be a tad too soon, but, you know, it's true to life. So anyway, I laughed anyway. Go ahead and check it out. For what it's worth.
What about you, Len? What have you been watching? Anything?
Well, I just finished rewatching The Haunting of Hill House because I watched Bly Manor. And yeah, I want to put out that Mike Flanagan really knows how to make horror movies and horror shows. The Haunting of Hill House is based on The Haunting, of course, but it's a different take on it. It is a horror story, but it's really a gothic horror, while Haunting of Bly Manor was more of a gothic love story. I mean, there's a lot of scary moments in Bly Manor, but it's really a romance. It's really a dark romance. And it's the thing about these shows is that it's not about jump scares. It's more about suspense. You really connect with the characters. And I think characterizations is really what makes horror movies work, is connecting with the characters.
This pup hates jump scares. Jump scares are like the worst thing on earth.
Pup scares?
I mean, I don't know what's worse, jump scares or COVID. I don't know. They're both kind of right up there with things I have a lot of trouble dealing with.
Well, you know, because of COVID going on right now, I think they're going to make the second, the third series, The Haunting of the White House.
Nice. Can't wait for that.
So it's a love story, is it? It's not like Dr. Beverly Crusher falling in love with a ghost candle, is it?
What?
That could be interpreted in many ways. So
for those furs that don't know what I'm talking about, if you watch Star Trek The Next Generation, Dr. Beverly Crusher falls in love with a ghost that lives in a candle.
Yes. I think that was season three,
wasn't it?
That was season three, yes.
Yep. Okay.
I'm actually on season three again. I've been watching Star Trek Next Gen, so.
I've been watching the new Rick and Morty and the new Mandalorian. I love it. Love the new Mandalorian.
I have not seen it yet. I got to check it out.
Okay, so no spoilers. I'm not going to tell you anything. Okay. But it's really, really good. Been watching The Boys again on Amazon, the new season of The Boys. And that's very...
Think of it as Watchmen with a dark, but as a dark comedy.
Superheroes that have all the flaws of regular humans.
Oh, so, cool. I will have to watch this.
I read a few more chapters in Waterways.
Oh, you did? Oh, cool.
I actually had an hour with nothing to do, and I thought I should read some, so I did.
Good for you. And how's it going? I remember you were a little yelly at the bookie at one point.
I was a little yelly at the bookie. I just finished the chapter where he comes out to his mother, the big argument. Yeah, the big falling out. So I was like, oh, my God.
And so for any furs that haven't read it yet but plan to, that's right. I mean, that's really not a spoiler because, like, you could see it just coming. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about it now?
I like it a little bit better. I still get angry at the character sometimes, especially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Especially the fox, because he's so flip about everything. And it's just like, this is serious. Take this serious.
No, I'm the same way. I understand. I can, as you say that, I'm thinking of some moments when, I got a little yelly at the bookie, maybe a little bit too. So,
yeah. So what else do you have, Tabin?
I guess it's related to media because it's some news stuff that I know, but it's not really furry. So I decided not to put in the furry in the news. So I heard there's this new band. They're called 1023. MB, and that they're really good. The unfortunate thing about it is they haven't got a gig yet. No, but really seriously, there's this really good piece of art that I think it was actually made by a fur, but this really nice piece of art, and it's not the one that John Oliver has. And the picture, they sent the picture to prison, and really the picture should not go to prison because it turned out that it was framed.
Oh. And if it's not proven innocent, it's going to get hung.
Exactly. Oh, I see what you did there.
But only in the state of Washington.
No, yes. No. I think it was Texas.
Small trivia. Washington does have capital punishment, and the prisoners can choose hanging as their method of execution.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
You learn something new every day. Every day.
There you go. So, but unless that's changed, if there's any furs out there that know if that's changed, please let us know. Write us a letter. We'll read it in the mailbag.
We will.
It sounds barbaric actually, either way.
Speaking of history, kind of, there's some history going on there. Remember the hipsters? I'm groovy, cool hipster and all of that and stuff. Well, I read this news article just the other day that there was this hipster that burnt the roof of his mouth. And you know how he did that? Well, it turns out that he ate the pizza before it was cool.
Uh-huh. Why have you not saved these for the jokes section?
Well, yes. I figured split it up because the joke section is when I read from my horrible book. And right. So these are not from my horrible book. They're from my horrible me. So I horrible figured self. I'll just do them at front. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. So I'm going to post the link for 5 Minute Furs because that's the thing we do. And the link has been posted. I'm not sure anybody's going to jump in or not, but we will find out here in just a hot minute. I'm going to leave this open because I want to talk about furry speak. I've noticed that there's words that only the furries use, and I would like some of them explained to me.
Okay.
What's a durgan?
It's a dragon.
Yeah.
Well, why is it called a durgan?
Because it's furry speak. You got to fur it up. I don't think there's any other reason.
Yeah, it's basically a cute way to call a dragon a durgan. It's like when you call a sergal a cheese wedge.
Okay. All right. So what's the difference between owu and uwu?
I don't know if I want to explain that.
I know owu. I've never really known how to pronounce that, but owu is like a blank stare type thing.
Okay.
Like, oh my God.
I mean, I think uwu is more of a blushy type thing.
Yeah, that's
but don't okay. Totally describe
it. Why henlo instead of hello?
I don't know for sure, Lem, you might know more about this than I do, but I think the henlo comes from the doggy thing.
Yes, you are
like,
correct.
Yeah, so there was a doggies, like when they were made into GIFs and videos and stuff on YouTube, like the little caption bubble, the doggy would be saying henlo instead of hello, because a doggy says henlo or something.
I think it refers to a series of images of animals that are looking at a computer and apparently getting cyberbullied. It's written in a doggo slang, originally a lizard slang.
Predominantly doggo thing now that originated from lizard, but now it's a everything. So it has quite a twisted history.
Quite a twisted history for the furry speak.
What the twist?
We furries are a little bit complicow, it seems.
Complicow?
Complicow.
Or complipup, if you prefer.
And those are Tabanisms. No one else uses those.
Those are very specific to the Taban. Not furry, but to the Taban. Complicow and complipup.
Which is more compla?
So I guess this is actually a tough question. I think it comes down to if it's a more historic nature, that is complicow then. But if it's more of a current day thing, I'd say it's complipup. It's kind of different. I don't think I've fully figured it out in my mind. So for any fur that's listening, if you know me at all and have ever heard me use these terms, you go ahead and write us a mail and give us your explanation and or thinking on the subject. It's a very important subject, you see.
So while we're waiting for another 4 or 5 minutes for the 5 Minute Furs for Fun, which I think no one's going to join us. So we're just going to drive right along here. Taban, I see you have a note in our show notes for the letter E and the letter P, and it seems much like Sesame Street stuff. So is our episode brought to us by the letters P and E?
I think so. Not necessarily in that order, but yes.
Do I need to bring Elmo?
Tickle Me, which is very scary, by the way. So I forget how this all even came up. I was in a chat on Twitter. This is just, you know, the other day or something. Some fur was like V for whatever and everything. And someone else was, I don't know, B for boy. I don't know. So I had to jump in. And so mine was E for endoplasmic reticulum. Because like, obviously, right?
I mean,
which is, by the way, it is a real thing, by the way.
It's a real thing. What is it?
Endoplasmic reticulum?
Yes.
Endoplasmic reticulum are in your cells, like the cells of the body and stuff. There's like all kinds of things that like tiny things in the human cell. Like,
okay.
I forget, microglia or something. Anyway, there's an endoplasmic reticulum. And if I remember right, it's kind of like the roadway on which things transport around within the body cell. So okay. I think you said something about learning earlier in your intro.
Yes.
And I if I did not lie right there, we just learned something.
Okay. And then what's the P for?
Disclaimer, I have not practiced this at all. I have not even, I've made sure not to even look at the word so that I could try and pronounce it here for the first time on our podcast. So are we ready?
We are ready. Go for it.
And this is a real word. P is for pneumonotrod microscolios volononiosis. That was even worse than the first time around.
Are you reading from the Necronomicon?
You'd think so. So, Barely, your turn. You can do a better job pronouncing that than I can.
I would say that's pneumonoultramicroscopic silicovolcanoosis.
That sounds a lot better to me. I wag for you.
Pneumono-ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis.
And what is that, Tabin?
I have no idea.
This is an invented long word said to mean a lung disease caused by inhaling very fine ash and sand dust from a volcanic eruption in particular.
Since we're on biology, I got another tough word. Starts with a C, cryptobiosis.
Cryptobiosis. Yes. Frozen cells? Exploded frozen cells.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, there you go. And you know, when you said it, it's a very hard word that begins with C. I think, well, it's got to be the word callus.
No.
I just did that. I'm sorry.
Okay, I think it's time that we should go to our guest interview. What do you say, Tabin? What do you think about that?
I think that is an amazing idea. Let's just move on. Don't give me any more chances to be callous and no more loop the volcano stuff.
Right. So our guest today is Haven T. Fuske. So let's move on to him. All right. Well, welcome to the show, Haven T. Fuske.
Hey.
Now, that's kind of interesting that I always want to say Haven T. Husky, but mm-hmm. it's not husky, it's Fuske. So mm-hmm. why Fuske?
It's a fox husky. Back in the early days of trying to come up with a fursona. And this was before I knew about stereotypes in the fandom. I was like, okay, I need something that's like super serious. Think like Robin Hood and although he wasn't that serious, but you know, like kind of more proper-ish, whatever, the business-like, and then just, you know, then the sort of like dumb dog, which huskies fit that bill perfectly. So I just kind of combined those two to get a little bit of both, the best of both worlds, as it were.
And the T, of course, stands for?
The.
That's it. That's so amazingly clever.
Yes, one of my fursonas is Enzo T. Ocelot, and the T is the. It's a common middle name in the furry fandom.
That's right.
Yeah, so. It's not like Tyrannosaurus Mundato or something like that. Like you're not Haven Tyrannosaurus Mundato, whatever I just said, Fuske. That's Fuske, lot harder to say than the.
Right, just the. Yeah, I mean, I could have gone with George or, you know, Carl, but nah.
And you know, even if you did go with George or Carl, you could still have T. It just the T stands for George or Carl. That's all.
Haven George.
What's Haven the T
George
stand
Carl
for?
Carl the Fuske. Yeah.
Well, Tabin, why don't you jump in and let's talk with Haven here?
Because we haven't been so far, so it's a good thing we start doing that.
We'll officially start talking.
Officially. Oh, yeah. Hi. Let's be official. But actually, no, maybe we should be more a pupple, not official, because then we'd be swimming, and that was bad. Okay, hi. So, Haven, how are you doing tonight or
today?
Great.
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Great. And yourself?
I'm great. I get to see you once again. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
I think, was it A&W probably last year?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
I think so. Sounds about right.
Good times. So you've already talked a little bit about it, but your fursona, I mean, we talked about your name, but your actual like fursona, the fluff, where does the fluff come from?
Well, it was actually, it's kind of a long story. I created a convention in Austin, Texas that goes by the name of Haven Con. And it's an LGBT focused, like geek gaming, all-encompassing everything convention, and but it's focused on the LGBTQ plus community and BIPOC community. So just like it meant to be all inclusive, much like what a furry convention is. But as I was promoting my convention, I was approached by TFF or Texas Furry Fiesta about like promoting my convention at their convention. They're like, oh, there's so much crossover. It's great. We love what you're doing. And da da da. We want to give you a table. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I didn't really know anything about furries at all. Like I'd seen a couple fursuiters like out one time and kind of like, oh, they're so cute. And I like, got pictures with them and all that fun stuff. But I really didn't know much about the fandom as a whole. So I show up to the convention, which is, again, its own other story. And I just kind of fell in love with the fandom. So I was like, hey, this would be a great way to like kind of bridge the two communities. Two communities and then kind of promote the convention. So I sat down and I came up with this character of Haven and ordered, like, went through the whole thing, and he was sort of the ambassador for HavenCon, and I being the owner myself, and then, you know, it just made sense, like, I kind of get the character out there and whatnot, and then as time went on, I was just like, or this is just my fursona. Like, and I love this and I love being a part of the community, and it can still kind of, he can sort of fulfill the role of mascot unofficially, but yeah, I like this is mine now. So that's how that whole thing went.
Cool.
And then of course the part of, you know, Fox Husky trying to, you know, make something that was a good balance of like the business part of things, but still fun and goofy.
Which is which?
So, right, exactly. Not knowing anything about stereotypes in the fandom, I just call it what it is for me. So I'm like, stereotypes be darned.
I always see foxes in lots of children's books and stuff as being they're like the scientists and the businessmen, mm-hmm. and stuff in the children's books anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, they drive around with their little cars and
stuff.
But,
yeah.
They drive around with their little cars.
Even Nick Wilde, I mean, even though he wasn't like super professional, I mean, he was a professional like thief to start off with, you know, he was still pretty, pretty proper in his own way. So
yeah. Oh, he really was. He had the, he had the strut like a professional, mm-hmm. or something. I'm not really exactly sure what I'm talking about, but there. But I'm glad you're agreeing with me anyway.
Yes.
That's very nice of you.
So you mentioned HavenCon. Mm-hmm. What is that all about? How did that? Well, you told us how it got started, but where is it now? How does it go? How is it going now?
I haven't really paid attention. I think it's kind of gone in the way of every other convention right now. I left about 2 years ago. Over in some internal disputes, which was the hardest thing I've ever done because that was my baby. I mean, I built that thing from scratch. It was, you know, my plan from paper to execution. I invested everything I had into it, but I just spent so much time and so much energy on it that I started to get burnt out, and I was really, unfortunately, letting my own self go in the process, and so it started to sort of feel like a really bad relationship. And so I was like, okay, I should probably take a break. But when I did so, and the way that it came out or it came about, it was not pleasant. So I just kept my distance. I've kept my distance since then.
Did you collect alimony?
You know, I wish, but no, I got stuck with, I don't know. I was going to say the kids and car payments. That's not really true, I guess. Well, I mean, I got the fursuit. I did get the fursuit out of it. So,
oh, well, there you go. It's true. You did. You did.
Said, no. I said, this is mine.
This is mine. So, nope. Sorry. Pause these off.
Yep.
So, in general, what be pre-COVID anyway? What cons would you typically go to then?
I love TFF. I haven't been there for a few years though, unfortunately. Just because I'm out in Oregon now and they're back in Texas. So traveling back and forth wasn't real easy. But I love TFF. I love MFF for like the one really, really big con a year, although TFF has grown quite a bit. And then I love Anthro Northwest. I've been going every year since the first year. I think they're just a great bunch of people. I like the concept. It's not as much party con. You can still go do your own thing, but then come back and you have a wide range of activities that you can partake in. And, you know, you just meet some really fun people there. Just like any con, I guess. I'd have to say those are the really big ones. And then, you know, if I get the chance, I'll try to mix another one in. I wanted to go to BLFC this year, but, well, here we are.
All want to go to BLFC year. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you mentioned a little bit ago when you were talking about your con, the Geek Gamer thing. So tell us about that. So you were the founder of the LGBTQ Geek Gamer thing. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I've always been a big geek and gamer throughout my entire life. And kind of starting back several years in some of the MMOs that were out at the time, the biggest one being like the early days of World of Warcraft, is when I started to really say, hey, this might be a way for me to like find it, because I'd fall in with like whatever group, but then you'd hear like people talking not so nice, you know, dropping the F word, like, and not the
like
the
food. Yeah, don't drop the food, because then it's icky, and food. That's a waste. Yeah.
No foil.
Foiled again. Yeah.
No, fudged.
Yeah. But they were just, you know, derogative towards gay people. So I stumbled upon a group called the Rough Trade Gaming Community. And
Rough Trade.
Not R-U-F-F. R-O-U-F. Yeah.
Oh, although
there
geez.
Could be a spinoff. There could be a spinoff if the furries wanted to get down on it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I started wagging, so...
Yeah. But they it was a very large LGBTQ focused game crowd, and they had a large guild in World of Warcraft, so it was a really nice place to where you could go and just be like, you could talk about whatever you wanted, and you're like, oh, my boyfriend made me mad today, and people are like, oh, okay, whatever, like, you know, just whatever you want to talk about. And it was great. And so that kind of, once I fell in with them, it kind of set me on this path. And what I found going forward was, like, if I were in a new city, because I traveled a lot for work, if I were in a new city, I always had, like, people I could reach out to that I knew I had at least something in common with, you know, rather than just going to random meetups or anything like that. So I found myself always organizing things like, hey, everyone, I'm in town. Let's, I just moved here. Let's all get together for drinks. So... it just kind of kept progressing like that. And then when I moved to Austin, Texas, which is where HavenCon was, I created a group. I still had the gamer crowd a little bit, although it had died down some. And I'm trying to think. So I basically was going to like random meetups, and like literally from meetup.com. And I would kind of just always feel like that person, like, just kind of off to the side still. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really fit in, you know, and I don't know. I just had this feeling of I didn't quite fit there. So I was like, yeah, this isn't working. And so I went home after one particularly like weird meetup, and sat down and like, created a group called the Gay Austin Geeks. And it exploded. I mean, it absolutely exploded. Within like the first 3 months, we got like 300 members, give or take, and then it just kept growing. Wow. From there, got over 1,000 members. We had to do some cleanup, but at one point, but it yeah, I was like,
well,
oh,
a
okay.
Little bit of drama, maybe. I mean, you get that many gays together.
Oh God, yes. Oh God, yes.
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's drama amongst the gays and the furries if you get more than three together. What are you talking about?
Yeah. That's true. No, that's very true.
Come up with rules like, hey, this isn't like your personal dating site. Like, stop blowing through people in the group. You know, just, yeah, there was, you know, always, yeah, some awkwardness and drama that comes up. It's just people. But, no, but it was a lot of fun. We hosted a bunch of different events, did different charity things and all that. And, we got invited to Wizard World Comic Con 1 year to set up a table to promote the group. which was awesome. And I also did a panel for Wizard World Comic Con, I think 2 years in a row. We did that 2 years in a row. And I think it was the second year we were there. Like, people would sort of walk by the table and you could see that they would want to come over. But you have to remember, this is still Texas, right?
Right. 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 Yeah.
People are like, yeah, I really want to go and talk to them. But so they would end up catching me away from the table at some point. Be like, oh, my God, this is so great. Can I have a card? And, you know, I was always keeping cards on me. And I'm like, yeah, here you go. They're like, I wanted to come say hi, but it was with my dad, or I was with my friends and they don't know yet, or, you know, just things like that. So I think we did more promotion away from the table than we did at the table, but it just got to a point where I was like, this is stupid. I was like, people should never feel this way, like, in my opinion, like, you know, they should, yeah, they, I, this is stupid. Like, it's Comic-Con.
That's all everyone, we can say. Yep.
Everyone's like, oh, Comic-Cons are so friend and inclusive and friendly. I'm like, well, ask these people, like, if that's true. They obviously didn't feel that way. So
I love how you just said that. Well, come to camp, they're oh, so you're so friendly, and it's just a very nice, sarcastic way to say that. I love that.
So I basically, me and a friend of mine went out for drinks afterwards, and after a few drinks, I was like, what if we did our own Comic-Con? And he's like, what? I'm like, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And I went home. Banged out the details, the general, like, idea, and pitched it, and people are like, oh yeah, I like that. So I busted my butt and got everything put together, and we did some fundraising and via Indiegogo.
I was going to say, are you, like, independently wealthy to be able to fund a con? Mm. Oh.
So a lot of the preliminary stuff, it was literally I cashed out, like, my 401k and minuscule savings that I had so that I could live, you know, while I did this. Because I basically quit my day job to do this.
Wow.
Because I knew it was going to be a lot of work. And I had to slowly build up a team over time. And within 6 months, we held our first Haven Con.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. Yeah, it was great. I ran it for about 5 years, and they're going on sixth, something like that, somewhere in there.
That's pretty amazing. That's quite like a journey you had.
It really was. And that's why sometimes I'm much better about it now than I was. Like, if you'd asked me, you know, this question a year ago, I'd be like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, I just don't. But even though there may have been some hard feelings in leaving, I do know that I accomplished something, and I accomplished something very significant in the state of Texas to bring, you know, because we had, I think, 1,200 people generally right around in that range that which would show up. So
fairly,
you
know, decent size,
super small event, not a huge event, but not a super small event. And we were still growing at the time. It was great. And everyone had a good time, and a lot of good memories, a lot of good memories for sure.
And here you are to live and talk about it today.
I know. that's probably the most amazing part, is I lived.
Well, you know, that's actually non-trivial right there, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I know what it's like pre-Furry World. I managed several large conventions for different things. Mm-hmm. And stepping away after contentions on the board is always difficult and always a pain in the butt. And
you
feel so angry for a long time before you're really ready to talk about it. So.
Yeah. And I made the mistake of, like I was like, I had such a need for it, because I think addictive is the only word that I was, like, addicted to it. Like, just the organization and having something to do, and that feeling of, okay, I may be investing all this time and energy, but I know it's for a good thing and whatever. So it was almost like an addiction. So when I stepped away, I was like, now what? And it was like, oh my God. And then I was like, well, I'll just volunteer for other ones. Well, that doesn't, right, not right away. That doesn't work very well.
No.
Because you're like, I don't think I like taking orders from people.
And then you have to find a method of supporting yourself too. And how do you go about that? So,
it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
So tell us a little bit about the Twitch thing.
Twitch is awesome. That's what I'm going to say. I will tell you. So Twitch, for me, I'm what's called a variety streamer. I wake up in the morning, I go, what do I want to do today? And then I just kind of do it. And, you know, it's playing a game Or I've tried like learning how to do art, which didn't go very well.
I know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. This tutorial. And I'm like, wait, slow down. Stop. Okay, back up. Okay, there's a line here, and then, okay, play. Oh, no, they're like, it's real easy to do this. And they're like, pew, 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 and you're like,
Well, see, that's the problem, that you didn't make the little sound while you were doing it. And so it was just horrible. So
it's just horrible.
You next have time, make the little sound, and it's got to be just like you just did it, or else it's
ninja,
gonna be
like
horrible.
A ninja blade cutting through. It's like, oh, it's art. No, but you know, mostly it's just meant to be like sort of goofy and fun and give people something to do. I generally stream during the day, so I have people that tune in and just leave it on in the background as I scream at video games, because I'm not a great gamer. I'm not like really good at video games like some people. So it's mostly just me just being frustrated at a game, which I guess nice. Has its own entertainment value.
And is that every day of the week, or how often do you stream?
I usually do about 3 days a week. I used to have a very strict schedule, but with that, because I do it as a hobby and as entertainment and for fun for myself and others, it started to really feel like a job. And like, it's a lot of work, but when it's a lot of work and it was like volunteering for a, you know, running a convention or whatever all over again. I'm like, okay. Like it's just lost that sort of magic that it had. So I took a break for a while. Now I'm slowly kind of dipping my toes back in. And so I'm doing like every other day. Usually I just post on Twitter, hey, I'm doing it.
Okay. I think I've seen you do that. And it wasn't at any specific time. It was like at 2:74. There is not a 74 in the afternoon. So we'll say 2:54.
Yeah.
And 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then you'd be doing that great.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. The ones I try to stay consistent on are Friday nights, because that's like community night where we just basically have drinks, play games like Jackbox games or Among Us, just different games that we can all play together is really the focus.
I started playing Among Us, I tried Among Us about like a week ago, and I should try that again. I didn't get too much into it because I'm kind of a one track mind pup. Mm-hmm. And I want to play Animal Crossing more and stuff and Mario and everything, but like I've been in this Hearthstone mindset for the past like 4 years, and that's like what I've been doing. But I want to branch out so much, and I've got these other games I want to play, but I'm just I'm a horrible one track mind pup.
And where I have like an all over the place sort of, I don't want to say ADD, but I mean, that's the only way I could really associate the sort of like frantic, like all over the place playing different games all the time. Like one day I'll be playing like Grand Theft Auto, and then the next I'm playing something like Animal Crossing. And then the next time I'm like, let's play on this Space Engineer server that I've set up. And then, you know, so it's like I think I have so many games in my library right now that I have not finished. And I feel really bad about it.
But I have a 10 that I have not started. So yeah, I feel your pain. It's like I like, you know, see these things, you know, you get like ads for, you know, a free thing or only $4.99 for like a popular game or something that you're curious about. And so I have all these. And they're, you know, I know a lot of them are awesome, but well, we know how that goes.
Right. Exactly. Yes, I don't even know. I'm not even going to look at my list right now because it'll just make me even more depressed. So,
okay. Well, I won't make you get more depressed.
It's like all the books you buy and you intend to read. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'll come to you soon. I promise.
I promise.
Well, life tends to get in the way sometimes.
Yeah. But all in all, this is great. It's really helped. It's one of two things I think that have helped me a lot during COVID, because you have that social interaction and you meet a great bunch of people, both within your stream and then also within like the furry community. Like there's a huge crowd now of furry streamers. I think probably because of COVID, you know, people not employed or looking for, you know, a little extra income, things like that. So huge influx of people come when COVID first hit. And so many of them are doing really, really great with it. And I think it's awesome. So you have that little connection there.
So wait a minute, how are they making money at this?
So with Twitch, you can become you have two ways. So you become an affiliate.
Hang on, we lost you.
Can you hear me now?
You're breaking up.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me now? Hello?
I hear you.
You hear me? Oh, okay.
I do, but Mike's it's barely. He's all, he's frozen now. I don't know. He's frozen. Oh, no. He's got to let it go because he's frozen now.
He's frozen. Let it go. Let it go. Mm-hmm.
So I've wanted to make... Oh, is he back? No, really? He's not back.
No, he moved for a second. Oh, no. Nope.
He's moving briefly.
Oh.
Hmm?
Are you there?
Oh.
Okay. I think you're back.
Okay. I think it was you, no, barely.
What happened? Me and Haven's been talking this whole time.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't heard anything. So
It still says recording on my end, so I don't know what's happening. But
yeah, it still says recording here. So anyway, okay. Yeah.
Well, you still have three tracks.
I still have three tracks, but okay. Let's go ahead and start again on how do you make money at Twitching.
So
you start
streaming. It doesn't even have to be anything fancy. And then once you hit like these certain milestones in streaming, and it's like get 30 followers, stream for 3 hours. I can't remember exactly what it was. It's pretty simple in the long run. And then you have to have X number of viewers. You can apply to become an affiliate, which they a hand affiliate out like it's water. So once you're an affiliate, you can start getting revenue from subscriptions. So people can subscribe to your channel. They can cheer, which use biddies, which are basically like just little biddies. Twitch currency.
Yeah, they're biddies. Tiny little things because they're biddies.
There's like a penny each. So, you know, but usually people do like, you know, a dollar. So sometimes at a time. My stream has gotten to the point where they like doing like a bunch of single bits at a time. Because I made the joke one time that it's like, could you imagine if you were a drag queen with this system? You'd literally be getting pelted with pennies like over and over and over. So anyway, so they like doing that for that reference. But stop hitting your pennies. Oh my God, stop it. And then let's see what else is there. So subscriptions and biddies are the primary ones. You can also accept tips if you want to. And there's ad revenue that you can get. There's a short share of ad revenue. And then the next step after you hit some pretty crazy milestones, which I haven't quite gotten yet, I have all but like the really hard one to get, which is like you have to maintain like a consistent, I think it's 75 viewers, like over X number of days. And I only get like 30 to 50. So I'm like, oh, so close, but not quite. So,
yeah.
And so you have to do that, and then you can apply for partnership, and then you get a little bit more of each thing. So more out of the subscriptions, a little more. And then you can also apply for like certain sponsorships, and you can take part in different little money making things as a partner. So
you mentioned working for tips. You know, that's the Jewish moil. That's they don't get paid. They just work for tips.
Just work for tips.
Yeah. A while ago, I thought about getting into Twitch, and I did, and I still do, but well, there's only so much time in the day.
It is true.
Yeah. And VR, I've wanted to do VR and stuff, and for example, make an avatar and everything, but
yeah,
there's just no time.
Yeah.
And I don't have the $300 or $400 or $500 to, well, I guess I could, but I don't think I really want to spend that much money right now to have someone make one for me. So I was thinking of
VR. Yeah,
looking into, you know,
it's like buying a second person.
It is. Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, it'd be cool to like look into Blender and Unity and try and make my own and be creative. Wouldn't that be cool? but, you know, that takes time too. So I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I need to try the same. So you can buy, and I was going to say, that's like the second thing that's really helped me maintain my sanity is VR chat. And because there are so many furries, in fact, there was just a virtual furry convention called Furality in VR chat this past weekend. And it was a lot of fun. I went and hung out with some people for a while in that. It's different, but, you know, it's still fun because you see a lot of like familiar faces and whatnot. And, you know, you can kind of stumble around upon people. But I mean, that's like my normal Friday night thing after I do my happy hour stream and go into VR chat and hang out. And it's a lot of fun. I've met some really cool people and I've gotten to see people that I haven't seen in a while because of, you know, conventions being canceled and all that good stuff. So I do recommend it. And one of the things that you can do, Taven, is you can actually, because if you don't want to invest like all that, is that you can buy like a base model, kind of like what this was, right? And then recolor it to look more like your fursona. And there's some really good ones out there, and they don't run in like the 500 to whatever. It's kind of like when you see all the people from like the same artist together, it's kind of like walking in and seeing like all DHC suits, like just huddled together. That's kind of how I look at it. It's like, oh, that's the DHC crowd, and that's the made for you crowd.
Okay, yeah. So, so for me and for any fur that wants to do the VR thing, where do I go? What do I do to get a base model? How do I start out?
So you can find creators online. You can also go to Gumroad. If you go to Gumroad, usually I just follow a direct link. You can search. You can like search for like VR chat, furry, and stuff like that. It's kind of like a, I think Gumroad's like a, what, DeviantArt sort of type thing.
Oh, okay.
But it's selling. So it's kind of neat. Do like, let's see, VR chat, furry, search, see what comes up. Yeah, there you go.
So VR chat for, you know, yeah. I'd like to think if I thought really long and hard all day, I would have eventually come up with that. But I'm really glad you saved me a whole day worth of thinking.
Oh, there's a cute collie. This would be, look work really well for you, I think. Recolor. Because you're a collie, right?
I am border collie with a little bit of Burmese mountain dog. So yeah.
There you go. Yeah, no, this one's really cute.
Uh-oh.
I think I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And then you can download that. You get that in the Blender, and then you can like paint it to look like your own fursona.
Okay. Nice. So it just drops pretty much into Blender.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to do any big file conversions or anything like
that. Not that I'm aware of. Again, I haven't actually tried it myself. So.
Okay.
He might be leading you down a false trail, Taven, but be careful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I've read a bunch of tutorials and whatnot. So they're made for VR chat. So it will, you just basically load it into Unity, upload it to VR chat and done. If you just want that base model one. Okay. And then most of them do include like the art assets that you can just open up in Blender or whatever you want to use and recolor it and whatnot.
Okay. So, and over time you can improve on it if you want, for example.
Correct. Yep.
Cool. Yep.
Yeah. I feel like I am oversimplifying it, but
it's a good start. It's a good start.
Sometimes it's better to be oversimplification when you first talk to people that don't know what they're doing so that they don't get overwhelmed.
Scared away.
Mm-hmm. That's when this pup talks to like anyone about anything. I love it when they oversimplify because I really don't know anything about anything. So
I become a master of that. I have a back before HavenCon, all that. I have an IT background. So I had gotten into the habit of almost speaking like an engineer because I was so used to being around people that knew like what I was talking about all day, every day. And then home and they're like, what? I was like, okay, we'll fix that. When you get into project management, you really have to learn how to do that.
Right. Because you like talk to other people from other things. So
middle management's like, okay, now just tell me like I'm, you know, explain it like I'm a 5-year-old.
Clearly you were explaining like they were a 12-year-old and they were not ready for that.
Yes, obviously. Like, I'm sorry. I thought you graduated high school. Let me start over.
So tell us about BuzzFeed. I have a note here about BuzzFeed video.
So Yeah, me and Lumio Draco, who is another Oregon local here.
I know him.
Yeah, you know Lumio. He approached me and said, "Hey, I've been approached by BuzzFeed to do a video. They want a couple fursuiters for this thing." And I was like, "What kind of thing?" He's like, "Well, it sounds like they're, you know, they just want to talk about furries and this and that and the other." I'm like, "But it's BuzzFeed. What's the catch?"
I remember this now that you start talking about it. I almost made it onto that myself, actually. Yeah. Anyway.
I remember that, Tabe, and I remember you talking about BuzzFeed, and there were some questions as to what it was going to be all about.
Yeah, yeah, and people are like, So he convinced me that it was going to be okay, that, you know, he had the assurances of the producer. So I was like, all right, that's fine. As long as it's not some hit piece, we'll be fine. So, we met up. We shot it here in Portland. We shot it at a church.
Really?
Of course. Where else are you going to shoot it?
Oh, my goodness. I guess that's the only place I could find some, like, room for us to change in and all that. It was a hot, sunny day. It was like 90-something degrees here in Portland. And there was no AC to be found anywhere. So I was like, okay. But the premise of the video was like strangers meeting furries for the first time. So they would sit down with regular people and just have a conversation with them, talk about the person, what they did. Like, there, I think two of them were comedians, I think. And I'm not sure what the other third person did off the top of my head, because we weren't there for that part of it. So and then they'd be like, "Well, what do you know about furries?" And then they're like, "Furries?" And then ta-da, a couple furries. Or they'd say something and then ta-da, we'd like sneak up behind them and whatever. So the end result was the BuzzFeed video, and it was actually a lot of fun. The people were really cool. We then, after we surprised them, we'd sit down with them and have a conversation, and they'd get to ask us questions, and we helped them create their own fursonas, like,
oh, cool.
Sort of thing. And so the whole, you know, yeah, it was like a whole conversation. It was a lot of fun. It was, I think, generally speaking, pretty well received. I stayed away from the comment section, but I think within the fandom, it was okay. People didn't completely freak out about it. I still, you know, get approached like, "Hey, you're that guy from BuzzFeed." And I'm like, Yeah. Like, where are we going with this conversation?
I do remember after the video came out, and I saw the video. I remember after it came out, if I remember right, because this was, what, a year or two ago?
It's been like 2 years now.
2 years, yeah. So it's been a long time for this puppy's little brain to remember. But I think I remember after the video came out, it was pretty well received from the comments I saw from just other furs.
I'm starting to remember this, Tabe, and I think you were going to say yes to it, but we couldn't get you to Portland for some reason. There was something else going on.
That sounds very familiar. I had a chase. That was probably back in my big chase the tail day before my tail sent me that letter. And so I didn't know any better. And I probably had a big day of chasing tail or something like that.
Right. There was something going on. We couldn't break because you and I both tried to get our schedules to match up to go do that.
That's right.
We just couldn't do it. Something was going on. I forget what was going on, but that was, yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
All coming back, Fluff. And so there's this other thing you have, and it may not be as active now, but there's the good fur news.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
We're bringing up all kinds of things for you, aren't we?
We do our homework.
I know. I stopped working on that, unfortunately. There was which sucks. And I've actually really been thinking about bringing it back recently just because I think I'm in a better mindset. Unfortunately, there was a problem. It wasn't a problem, but it was something that people perceived as a problem. And I started getting attacked for it. Basically, I had an artist that I featured, and people were basically like, "Oh, you featured them." And they wanted me to basically take it down and not talk about them and everything else. And I basically stuck to my guns. I said, "No, I won't do." I did. I was like, and then I investigated. I was like, because I was like, "Yeah, I'll just double, triple check. If they have a valid complaint, then we'll go from there." Turns out it wasn't valid. And it was just a lot of that whole internet pile on sort of thing. I don't want to call it miscommunication, because they were communicating quite clearly what they were expecting. So I put it back up, and then some people decided that they wanted to start attacking me personally and saying some very, very nasty and very untrue things about me. Mm-hmm. And so I just said, I do this for fun. I don't get paid for this. I don't need it. Like, you know, like if this is how people are going to be about this, then, you know, I'm done with it. So I took, I stepped away from it.
What was the premise of it?
So it was basically just to kind of like highlight positive, you know, people in the fandom, people who, you know, do a highlight an artist 1 week. Maybe we'd talk to, Gabe from Anthro Northwest. I talked to, Keith Locke, who's a big, you know, Twitch streamer. You know, just try and highlight different people that are just doing different things within the fandom and you know, spread a little positivity. That's why it's called Good Fur News.
Mm-hmm. And that was on Twitch?
No, it was a website. It was a blog.
It was a blog.
It's
okay.
Not running at the moment. So
okay.
Yeah,
you can find it. I found the Twitter site anyway, but no, you're right. But I tried clicking the website link, and it went to a no bye bye page. So
yeah,
those are technical terms. No bye bye page.
I kind of was like, okay. Yes. Go bye bye.
Yeah, one of the things we're finding is that the people forget that, you know, you put stuff up on the web because it's your thing, and then they want to make it their thing and tell you how you're doing your thing wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, but it's my thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing was, is that if maybe a little more time and energy had been spent on their part to like research what their issue was rather than just listen to gossip and whatnot, they would have found out that it wasn't correct, and none of it would have happened.
But it's so much easier just to knee jerk than to do work.
Yeah. So I did the work for them, and
right.
And it started becoming a non-issue after a while. It finally died down and everything. But I mean, it was just like, just stuff. I was just like, what? Like, no, like, no. So it's fine. I'll go back to doing whatever else I do.
And have you ever chased your tail within the fandom?
I have.
Have you? Wow. Have you ever chased your tail outside the fandom?
I didn't have a tail outside the fandom, so no.
Oh, so the answer is vacuously no. How has your tail chasing within the fandom gone for you? Have you caught it yet? Has it written you a nasty letter to say, don't do that? Because I had my tail do that.
Yeah, I got a restraining order one time. So.
Yeah, see.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that.
Okay, no more. That's the end of that story. Yeah, on one of the pupisodes here, I forget which one of the earlier ones. But, you know, I had my tail chasing saga where I would every week tell any furs that were listening about my new techniques I'm learning and chasing tail and how close I'm getting to catching it and all that stuff. Then at one point, Tail wrote me a letter that we read on the show, and Tail was a little concerned that I kept wanting to bite him. And I understand. I was being very not nice to Tail. I thought it was all in good fun. I did not get a restraining order. So I think it went a little better for me than for you. But I think now everything's copacetic. I've been... You know, we go out and help little squirrelies and chipmunks learn how to chase their tail a little bit better and stuff. So we're getting along. We're doing it.
Yeah, good. You got to work through those problems.
We really do. And now, you know, Tail's beside me right now. He wag, and yeah, there I pet, and it's working out pretty well.
Nice. So, Taven, do you have anything else you want to ask Haven before we wrap this up?
How are you, Haven? Wrap.
I'm good.
Can you do a rap for me really quick?
A rap? Oh gosh, no. Let's see. No.
The Haven is a maven, and he's sitting on the log because he's in the forest and a tree fell, and so he's sitting on the log, and Yo-Yo got the fur it up. And I'm going to stop now. I think that's enough.
Yeah, no. It doesn't. Yeah. Well, Haven, Raven, Maven.
Raven.
Shaven.
I've been saving
shaven
for time. The
a rainy day. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not even going to try. No.
Well, Well, Haven, it's been wonderful having you on the show. Thank you for coming on and being our guest. We're a little bit different format than your Twitch, obviously, but
hey, no, not really. Sometimes you just sit and you talk and see what comes up and what comes out of it. Because yeah, I like that. I like that a little bit better. A little direction, you know. You probably know this from like being at conventions and running panels and stuff like that. You got to kind of keep it, you know, going, moving forward, just let it kind of happen organic. Always works best for me because one, I can ramble for one if I get on a certain subject. So you just nudge me in the new direction and we're good. Or I'm like, yes, no, yes.
Yeah. Well, most all this stuff I do like at cons and in the pod here and stuff. And everything I do is pretty much improv. And like on my videos, I mean, there's, you know, sometimes a format, like maybe I'm reading a story, so I have to read the story. But like everything I do is improv anyway. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which is funny because most of the time, Taban doesn't know what he's talking about. What are you talking about, Taban?
I have no idea. And thanks for asking.
2020. Nobody knows what they're talking about anymore. We're just like, what year is it?
I wish 2020 would go away already.
Soon. Hey, maybe not you guys, but I got some good news last week. So,
well, good. I'm glad you got good news.
It's already looking better for me.
Oh, you did?
The election.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was good news for me, too. Yes.
Oh.
Very good news. So,
I like how you kind of said that under your breath, but I heard it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. <it's>
into that. So,
well,
I was like,
we're going to let you go do your thing. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. Someday, hopefully soon, we all can see each other in person. And
yeah, very, very much. And I was like, actually, there's something I was remembering. Oh, it's not important or anything, but I'm going to say it anyway, because that's what I do. I was remembering at A&W year before last, so 2 years ago, there was that quote unquote talent show, and you were the MC, and you introduced me, and I sung I sung Rider of the Kaiser. I remember afterwards you said sandwiches, sandwiches. And everyone always thinks that the song's about sandwiches and it's not, but you did. And that was great and fine and fun. And I remember I made sure it was the anti-talent part of the show, definitely. So I was glad to be help break up the talent.
No, you did fine. You did fine.
Well, thank you.
So that was first time doing anything like that. And I was actually asked to do that literally like 15 minutes before it started. Oh. And so I had to jump in the suit and then go down and do that. So everything that happened that day was on the spot, like during that whole thing, because poor Queenie, bless her, she got sick. And I guess they just decided to ask me. So I was like, okay, sure. I guess fine. So why not?
It's interesting. We had very similar experiences because at A&W last year, the night before, they asked me to MC the dance comp. Mm-hmm. And then the Floor Wars was like the next day, and like 30 minutes into it, and I was actually in the Floor Wars, and 30 minutes into it, Hogwash runs over and asks me to finish it for him. So like, oh, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. No. So anyway, we are of like fluff. I remember being your assistant, one of your many assistants in one of the fursuit games, and that was exciting too. So I'm remembering we have a history, Haven. We have a history of fluff.
The Great Northwest Fluffening.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. The Great Northwest Fluffening.
The Great. Well, this was great to catch up with you about all this.
Hey, it was great catching up with you too. Yeah. No. Good times. Thanks again, you guys.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. We hope to hug you again in the near future. Bark, bark.
Yes.
Nice, nice. That was kind of fun. It was a different format that we've used. I kind of like it. A little more open, a little more less structured. What do you think of that?
It was a conversational list. As opposed to a communist. I don't even know anymore.
You don't even know what you're saying anymore.
I think you already alluded to that in the interview or our time together, as the case may be. And
yes.
That's true. I don't know.
I was unaware of your long and storied history with Haven, though.
Yes. So we met, we talked about it a little bit ago, but we talked about it a little bit ago.
Just a few minutes ago.
Just a few minutes. I think I met him 3 years ago at Furlandia, maybe. It was either Furlandia and or A&W. And that's, as he said, those are two things. Well, he didn't mention Furlandia as much, but those are two things he commonly goes to. And of course, mm-hmm. I do too. He's great. And it's been great to know him the past 3 years.
Yeah, seems like a really nice fur.
He is a nice fur. He's got nice soft fur. And he's such a cute little fusky.
Is he a cute little fusky?
He's not little. He's about my height. But So he's a puppy height husky.
Does he got the big curly husky tail?
He does. Let's see. Is it curly? He's got a nice big fluffy tail anyway. Big
fluffy tail. Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you say we get to our next segment?
I say we get to our next segment.
All right. Well, that takes us into Furries in the News.
Furries in the News.
So we have a couple of things this week. Everyone needs to understand that we record this a week ahead of time. The things that happened this just last week before we recorded happening on the world stage. And so we're talking about them now. And certain things may happen after this. But of course, the funniest thing that's happened so far.
And so everyone's probably seen this actually by now, since it's been a week. It doesn't take a week to see this.
The Four Seasons VR.
It's so good. It's so good. Oh, Cooper Tom, you funny kitty.
Have you seen it, Lem?
Yeah, I have.
For any fur that didn't know, because I saw this. I saw the original. Cooper Tom's this really cute kitty. He's really good with VR, and he's created this VR thing. For any furs that don't know, just go to YouTube for Trump Four Seasons, and you'll get a press conference that he held. So this is what happened. Trump was out playing golf, of course. The advertising manager, I think he told Trump about this press meeting that's coming up. He secured a location in Philadelphia at the Four Seasons. Okay. And there's a Four Seasons big hotel resort in Philadelphia. And you can see pictures. And it's this big, elegant thing, a great place for a press conference. So Trump tweeted about that and said, okay, Four Seasons Hotel in Philadelphia will have this press conference. Okay, great. Pretty much moments later, changed the tweet to say Four Seasons at the Landscaper. So the Four Seasons Landscaper on the edge of Philadelphia. So they got the right location, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But the Four Seasons is like, it's like this landscaping place, and it's in between an adult store and a cemetery.
Crematorium.
A crematorium, right. A crematorium. Yeah. And so they held a press conference, and you go online and no one knows why they chose this place. I mean, there's speculation that it has like this huge parking lot and it's close to the freeway. Okay. But right. They held the press conference and it's horrible. And then Cooper Tom, really soon after, took like, what, about 5 hours or something to go in a VR chat and did a really good job recreating a very lifelike version of this thing. Well, of course, it's Cooper Tom. So a whole bunch of furries go in. And so you can Google, it's like the number one hit on YouTube right now or something. You go in and it's a video of all these furs running around, and there's Cooper Tom talking about it, and they're all laughing. On the side of the building, there's this hose reel with a hose on it. And Cooper Tom does a really good job of keeping that too. And it's really good.
I find it very ironic. If not, it's foreshadowing that this happened at a different Four Seasons. But I find it really funny because Trump's presidency only lasted four seasons.
Snap on the pawsies. I'm not giving a political viewpoint. I'm just saying there was this thing that happened and Cooper Tom did an amazing job with it. And check it out, because he did an amazing job with it.
And then the furry in the crowd. What was that? That was you sent me this link and I'm like, yes, the announcement. And you're like, you know, furries in the news, literally in the news. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I finally looked, and back in the background is what?
So there's a fursuiter with a partial on. So it's I don't know if he's got the paws or not, but he's got a fursuit head on and he's in there. And actually, it's not hard to find. I had just seen this in some Telegram chat. Someone posted it, but it's not hard to find if you Google Biden announcement furry. You'll probably get it. I mean, I'm just guessing. That's all you have to do. But there's a definitely you don't have to look hard. And there's different, I've seen actually different pictures of different angles and stuff. So in the one I sent you, he's like in the background, but there's somewhere he's like in the foreground. So you can see that. And he's been identified too. I forget what his name is.
That's what I was going to ask, if we know who he is yet.
The furry that was in the news in this thing was Bimani Cub. So if you look for his Twitter, you can find Bimani Cub.
Oh, that's who it is.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Oh, okay. Very cool. I guess we're still in furries in the news. So the other thing, of course, is upcoming events, which we have none.
Okay. Well, there was Furality Online, and then you talked last week about a Japan Con coming up. So there's a few things trying.
But there's nothing else in the works that I could find anyway.
There is something coming up, actually.
What's that?
A whole new year.
A whole new year.
So I believe it is a math week.
Oh, yes. That's right. We still have more to go.
So what is your math today, Mr. Tabin?
So this week I have a logic puzzle, actually. It's kind of a cool little logic puzzle. It's kind of on the same line as, if you remember, or 2 weeks ago, I did the Let's Make a Deal one, and I talked about that and the Monte Carlo problem. And so...
Monte Hall.
Monte Carlo. Who's Monte Carlo?
That's a game. And it's also a place to go gamble.
Okay, no, so I meant Monty Hall, yes. There's kind of an important piece to the puzzle of how it works, and that was noticing some details in exactly what's going on. And so this logic puzzle has a little bit of that element in it, so I thought it'd be pretty cool to talk about. So Barely and Lemmy, do you have a pen or pencil? You might need to write something down when you're trying to figure this out.
I got to do stuff.
You don't have to do anything while I'm talking about it, but in order to figure it out, you'll need something. And so I've kind of given you some clues, actually, in the last few things I've said. So there's Bob and Bill, and they're standing in front of his house talking. And Bob has three daughters. And Bill asks Bob, what are the ages of your three daughters? Bob says that, so of course he makes it hard on Bill. And so he turns it into a puzzle. He says that the product of their ages, that is if you multiply all three of their ages, the product of their ages is 36. And so after thinking for a little bit, Bill said, well, okay, I don't quite get it. Could you give me another hint? And so Bob says, well, the sum of their ages, that is if you add all three of their ages together, you get the house door number of my house. But still, Bill wasn't quite able to answer that question and asked for one more hint. So Bob says that his youngest daughter has red hair. And from that, he knew the answer of the ages of all three daughters. So now, can you, Lem and Barely, tell me what are the ages of all three of his daughters?
Bob's daughters.
Bob's burgers.
That's all we got.
Do we know the house number?
We don't. On that question, though, I kind of gave a hint when I was leading up to talking about the actual problem.
I think perhaps you should educate us on the ages of the children.
42. I was going to say 12.
So, okay, here's how this goes. Are you ready?
You said something about red. I'm like, the only thing I think about red when it comes to factors is decimal code, which is
255-00.
That's the only thing when it comes to red colors.
255-00.
Yeah, that's the hexadecimal code for color red.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's very...
And there's probably like one person in this podcast right now that would know that, and that's Lemnius.
I used to do artwork.
So here's how this goes. So the product of... And I really think this is really cool, actually. The product of their ages is 36. Right?
Okay.
So we can list. I mean, there's not many possibilities. Let's list them all out. So we can do this methodically. We can just list out all the possible things that multiply to 36. There's 1, 1, 36.
1, 1, 36?
1 times 1 times 36 is 36.
Oh, right. Okay. 1 times 36 is 36. Right.
To make it methodical and efficient, let's just keep the number... the first number 1 for now, and then increase the second number. So, and we're learning something about how to be methodical here too.
Okay.
So 1, then the next number would be 2. And so the last number then has to be 18. So let's see what's next. 1, 3, and 12.
Because 3 times 12 is 36.
36. So then the next number would be 1, 4, and 9. 5 won't work. So I'll do 1. 5 doesn't work because 36, you can't do that. How about 6? 6 times 6. So we can do 1, 6, 6. That's it. Because I could do 9 next, but we've already listed the one with 9. 149. So that's it for the ones.
Right.
So change the next number to, or sorry, the first number to a two. And we don't want to start with one because we've already got the 2, 1, 18. So 2, 2, 2 times 2 is 4. So then a 9. We're actually almost done here. There's not much, many more.
There's not many possibilities.
Right. Because now we've got 2. We can do a 3 and a 6. 2, 3, 6. And that's it for the twos. Then we can go 3, 3, 4. And then we're done. Okay. What's next? Well, the sum of the numbers equal the house number. Okay, let's look at what the sum of these numbers are. In the first case, we've got 38, then we've got 21, then we've got 15 plus 1 is 16, then we've got 9 plus 4 is 13 plus 1 is 14, then the next one would be 13, and then we've got 9 plus 4 is 13, mm-hmm. then 6 plus 2 plus 3, that's 8 plus 3 is 11. And then we have 9 plus 4 is 13.
13.
Okay, so great. Now what? The third clue is that his youngest daughter has red hair. What? How can that help? The key is his youngest daughter. So he has a youngest daughter.
Okay.
So now if you look, there are three numbers that add to 13, or three of those triples that add to 13. Mm-hmm. They all have to add to his house number, and he has a youngest daughter. So his daughters have to have age 1, 6, and 6, because 1 is the youngest, so the mm-hmm. smallest number of all of those. And so that's actually really cool, because there's like, it's all the information is out there, but you're like, red hair? How does that
right.
help? So mm-hmm. let me tell you an alternate version that I won't tell you the answer to, because honestly, I haven't worked through it myself, but I'll go through it next week and tell us the answer.
Hang on a second. You went a lot of stuff and Lem got really quiet. Are you still with us, Lem?
I went cross-eyed.
He does that to me a lot. When he does these math things, I wind up just drooling and I'm not sure what's happening. So I just wanted to make sure you were still alive.
So this one goes, a census taker calls a man's house and asks, what are the ages of your three daughters? The man says, if you multiply their ages together, it equals 72. And if you add them, it equals the door number. The census taker says, well, if you can't give me any further information, I still don't know. So the man said, well, my eldest daughter has a dog with a wooden leg. And the census taker says, ah, now I know. Thank you. And hangs up.
Okay.
So that's the thing. Take what you learned from the original and see if any of you furs out there can figure it out. And I'll talk about it in next week's pubcast, along with a story time, because next week will be story time term.
That's true. Well, with that, I need to clear my brain a little bit. And I think the best way to clear our brains is to have some really bad jokes. What do you say?
I think that's amazing. And may I tell you, I'm having such a good time tonight. I always have such a good time talking with you, Barely, on our pubcast, but I'm just having an amazing time. It must be because of you, Lem, and your fluff that's helping us out tonight.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Was that, did Elsie from Frozen just show up, or what just happened?
Elmo here for you.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like a Japanese Elmo.
That was actually Mrs. Swan from Mad TV.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, he looked like a man.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, God. Well, it's time for our really bad joke. Tabin, let's give a little explanation as to why you have a book full of really bad jokes.
Yes. Yeah, so if any of you furs have been listening to the pubcast, we appreciate it so much. So you know what I'm going to say now. But for any of you furs just tuning in, I have this book. It's called Funny Jokes and Foxy Riddles, and the only word in those words that I agree with is the word and. And these are, so it's a full book of really bad jokes that, and I haven't read any of those before the recording of the pubcast, so we'll be hearing these all for the first time, and that's exciting, I guess, I wag.
Lem, do you have any jokes that you'd like to share with us during this time? Because if you do, we just kind of trade back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got some.
Okay.
Are you excited?
You want me to start?
Yeah, why don't you start?
Are you excited, though?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
What do you give a sick lemon?
I have a good guess, but let us know. Not the lettuce, but the lemon. What do you get?
You give it lemonade.
Yeah, see, I...
Okay.
I think everyone knew that. Okay, thank you for that, Lem. You know, I've been wondering about... See, and this actually goes into our media section, so maybe I should have asked about this. It has to do with, like, world food consumption and everything. And I've been wondering about, when was beef the highest?
When was beef the highest?
When was beef the highest?
when it smoked a joint?
Well, actually, that was only the second highest. It was the highest when the cow jumped over the moon.
Oh, yes.
You know, I love how there was no laughter at all.
That beef was going after a different kind of grass.
It was not organic at all, let me tell you.
You know, Tabin, everybody laughed at you when you said you wanted to be a comedian. Well, they're not laughing now.
No, no, they're not. Oh, my cow.
I was cross-eyed, now I rolled my eyes to where...
There was this boy with a really long, shaggy... It was a horrible... Whenever he had a haircut, it was horrible. And it's all shaggy now and stuff.
Ruh-roh, raggy?
See... Exactly. See, and so Scooby went into the barber. He went into the barber and said, "Mr. Barber, are you the barber that cut my hair the last time?" And the barber said, "It couldn't be. I've only been here for 3 months." What?
What?
So this is on the scale of one. So for all you furs out there, there are occasionally those jokes in here that we're like, I mean, what the Roman joke is? It took us like 2 weeks and someone to explain it to us to figure that out. So I think this is one of those.
You know, that reminds me. I need to get a haircut. I need to shave, too. I used to hate having facial hair, but then it grew me.
Oh.
That's the punchline right there. See?
Yes. Also,
this book is from 1968, I think, and it took until now for us. Thank you for coming on and helping us figure that out.
Do you know what the fish said when it swam into a wall?
Besides owl?
Damn.
Lucas.
Okay, that was cute. That was cute.
Did you? That was cute. Was that okay? Was it?
Does anybody else have anything else? David, you got another one?
I do. Okay. I do, but I'm giving Lem a chance.
Okay.
Well, what's the most terrifying word in nuclear physics? Oops.
That's not a good word to. So, Bob. Not the same Bob. This is a different one. He doesn't have three daughters, only two. What's the difference between an elephant and a matter baby?
Oh my God. A matter baby? What's a matter baby?
Nothing. What? What's a matter you?
Oh God, I fell right into that one.
You don't. I actually love how that played out. That was amazing. That was even better than I could have even tried.
Right? Do you know why a chicken coop has only two doors?
You have to go in one if you're going to go out the other?
No, because if it had four doors, it would be a chicken sedan.
It would be a chicken sedan. Okay, no, now that was cute.
Lem, do you have any other jokes? If not, we're going to wrap this section up.
I need coffee, but you know what? You know how I feel when I don't have coffee? Depresso.
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 Oh. That brings us to our last section of the podcast.
Lem, are you excited that this is the end?
So we play trivia now at the end of our podcast. So we
and this
will,
is where the real puppy logic comes in.
Lem, you can play too. So we're gonna spin the categories.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And the first category is going to be history. So the history question is, Machu Picchu was part of what historic South American civilization?
Wait, say that again?
Machu Picchu, not Pikachu, but Machu Picchu.
That's where my mind, that's the first thing my mind went.
Was part of what historic South American civilization?
I know this one. Peru?
So Lem does Peru. I'm going to have to go with puppy logic on this one and say, so... Machu Picchu. So Pikachu, obviously, he was in South America one day and he was civilized. So he was wearing a business coat. And Pikachu's business coat lashed out in traditional Japanese anime style and said, "Where is the rutabaga, Mr. President?" So the answer must be Lincoln.
No, the answer is Inca.
I was so close. Oh, Lincoln. Lincoln almost rhymes with Inca.
Inca, yeah, okay. I think I got some of it right of where.
Peru is down there, I've heard, so yes. Yeah. I think we tie on that one.
Okay, we'll give you both a tie. Entertainment. Now, I think Lem might have you on this one, Tabin, and we'll let Tabin answer first on this question.
Okay.
Name one, only one, of the first two women in Hollywood to own a studio.
To own a studio. Okay, so women back in Hollywood days would have
because an apartment. They're over now, clearly.
They're over now. It's only Hollywood now. They had studio apartments. So they're in the, and they're cooking because they're hungry for dinner. So they're making macaroni and cheese. What was the question again?
Name one of the two first women to own a studio in Hollywood.
Oh, well, I mean, it's got to be, I mean, macaroni and cheese. So it's got to be Chef Boyardee.
Okay. Chef Boyardee from Tabin and Lemnius, what is your answer?
And that's a studio as in a production studio, right?
I guess. It just says studio on the question.
The only thing that comes to mind is because I actually was watching a documentary on like film and stuff. I think Sherry Lansing, she was the CEO of Paramount.
The answer of the two women are Mary Pickford, and you guys are going to kick yourself when you hear the next one, Lucille Ball.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes, Lucy. That's right. She actually helped Star Trek.
Yeah.
She helped Star Trek?
Yes. She did.
Really? Yep. Wow. I did not know that.
Because the first Star Treks were filmed under the Desilu Studios, right?
That's right. Yes, that's, hey, Lucy, yeah. I'm home on the Enterprise.
And let's move along to geography, shall we?
Please do.
Name four of the six African continental countries crossed by the equator. I need four African countries that are crossed by the equator. Okay, so you can collaborate on this if you'd like.
I'll name two. How about that? I'll name two. Somalia. I'm going to say Kenya because Kenya is right next to Somalia.
And I'm going to say, okay, so we're looking for African equators, which rhymes with Ecuador. So Ecuador is one of them. And then the other is...
No.
There's a country, Zimbabwe, and it starts with the letter Z, which also starts Zoom. So then there's this puppy, and he's running around really fast because he goes Zoom. And he fluffs all over, and so there's got to be a lima bean involved. Like, obviously, duh. So I'm going to say the fourth one is Nicolas Cage. Because the logic is sound.
The logic is sound. Unfortunately, those were not correct answers, Tabin.
Oh, okay.
And fortunately, our winner tonight is Lemnius. He had two countries correct. Somalia and Kenya are two. The other ones are Gabon, the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Uganda.
Uganda. So like when you leave the party in a rage, Uganda.
Uganda. Yes.
That was a very bad thing I just said.
I want to give you a quick little fact here. Coffee grows at the equator. That's where coffee usually grows, is at the equator. When you learn about the coffees, you learn about the Africa roast, Eastern Asia roast, and all that. Basically, when you learn about some coffees from South Africa, basically they've named some of the countries in the equator where they grow their coffee. So I think that's another reason why it kind of stuck with me.
And I just remembered, so this has nothing to do with what we're currently talking about, but I just remembered, I meant to say when we did the jokes, Sumfer actually told me they love... Literally, I'm not making this up. They said they love the jokes at the end of the pubcast. They well, actually love those jokes. I really felt it's really important. Spritz, shout out to Spritz / he also goes by Oreo and Diglett. He says, I like the jokes at the end of your podcast. And also you said, if you listened that long, thank you, thank you. So he actually listened to, we actually have a fur that listens that long. So thank you so much, Spritz, for telling me that. It actually means a lot that some fur actually is.
Tabin, that brings us to the end of our podcast.
The end.
And at this point, many listeners are saying, oh, thank God. But
let me, so from what I understand, you wanted to come on tonight and record with us because you were bored. So tell us now, after having gone through all this, there's two things. There's one is boredom. The other is being on a pubcast with me and Barely. And so which do you pick? What do you think for our listeners? Which is better?
I take this over serving Karens any day.
Okay.
Well, I would like to remind all of those in the Podiverse to send us a message, reach out to us on Telegram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Space This, whatever. Whatever's out there.
MySpace, wasn't that like...
MySpace.
MySpace, yeah. Reach out on MySpace. Find us.
If you find us on MySpace, let us know, because we don't have one.
Yes, and if you have any, as we've said before, if you have any math questions of whatever type, let us know, and I'll try and figure it out and talk about it. If you have any stories you'd like me to read, let us know, and I'll read that on the, send us a title, we'll read that on the podcast.
And please don't message me math questions.
Do not message Lemnius for math questions. It's not a good idea.
Anything else in the universe? Yes, please do, but non-math. Oh, my cow.
All right. Well, Tabin, you have a great week. Lemnius, thanks for coming in and hanging out with us for an hour or so. It's
Thank
been a
you
pleasure
for having
to have
me.
You. Yeah, you're welcome. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, every fur. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a great way, and I love using this as a way to keep us together as a family. I really love that we can do this for you, and thank you for listening. It helps keep us together. So thank you. I wag. Bark, bark.
Barely Furcasting is an Injured Nerves studio production and is found on all major podcast platforms or can be heard directly at barelyfurcasting.com. The opinions expressed here are those of the hosts and their guests, and no commercial compensation was granted. The Furcast is produced, recorded, and directed by me, Barely Normal, a.k.a. Mike Began, and is edited by myself and our associate editors, Rain Raccoon and Canes. This week's interview was edited by Rain Raccoon. Opening and closing theme music, as well as some interstitial music, was created for Injured Nerves Productions for the use on the podcast by our music associate Reg Day with Damian Tanuki. If you would like to send us a message, you can do so via email at barelyfurcasting@gmail.com or on our Telegram chat at BFFTChat, on Twitter, on our Facebook page, or on the barelyfurcasting.com webpage. You can also help support the show through donations at ko-fi.com/barelyfurcasting. Thanks for listening. We hope you come back and listen next week.